On this Pentecost Sunday, of course, we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit as he comes upon the church just generally, but the gift of the Holy Spirit as he comes upon each and every one of us individually. Now, in the Old Testament, we see the working of the Holy Spirit present in the Old Testament, but the Holy Spirit was only given in a small measure. So the Holy Spirit was active, but it's with Pentecost that the Holy Spirit is poured out on the church in abundance. We have to be able to recognize, we have to acknowledge the importance of the coming of the Holy Spirit, to the point that Jesus says that it would be better if he left them, like that Jesus would leave them, because he says, if I don't leave you, the Holy Spirit isn't going to come to you. And so Jesus sees the importance of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul sees the importance of the Holy Spirit. And because both Jesus and St. Paul see that the giving of the Spirit is so vitally important, we should at least try to see how important this is, to grow in our appreciation and in our awareness of the giving of the Spirit. Now, even though there are many things we can say about the gift of the Holy Spirit, I want to focus in on two things that we find in today's readings. The two things that we see with regard to the coming of the Holy Spirit are unity and diversity. You might say, well, unity and diversity, well, how can those two go together? But that's what we have. And unity, particularly as it happens or as it comes about through reconciliation. That sin divides us, but reconciliation brings us together. And when we look at the Old Testament again, we can identify certain events in the life of the people of Israel where a particular sin caused severe division. Division that lasted through the generations. And how Jesus has come and the Holy Spirit has come to heal these divisions. And the one event that we see is referred to particularly in today's readings is what we find at the Tower of Babel. At the Tower of Babel, the people rebelled against God, decided, as it says in the text, to make a name for themselves in opposition to what God's plan was. And so they try to rebel against God. And what does God do? He confuses their speech so that they're not able to communicate with one another anymore. Well, the coming of the Holy Spirit in today's first reading brings that together, because now the apostles, as they proclaim the gospel, everybody can hear it in their own language. So what had caused at one time division was now being healed. It was being brought together. Now, we always have to cooperate with this work of God, obviously. We have to cooperate with God's work because God brings about his salvation, his healing, in ways in which he expects us to cooperate. When I consecrate the Eucharist in a few minutes, and I extend my hands over the bread and wine, asking the Holy Spirit to come down and to change them into the body and the blood of Christ, bread and wine are not able to resist God's will. So when God does something there, the bread and wine are changed because they can't resist God's will. We are able to resist. And so it's very important for us to not resist the will of God, but to seek always that reconciliation. We see the other part of today's readings that is speaking about this forgiveness in the gospel, when Jesus says, whoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. And whoever sins you retain, they are retained. Having this kind of assurance is actually something very important to us. To know, to have that certainty that our sins are forgiven when we confess them in reconciliation. Because if I just pray to God, how do I get up from that prayer and know that my sins are forgiven? I can't know. There's no way I can know. But the way I can know when I go to confession is because Jesus said so. He said, whoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. And so having that certainty, because forgiveness is such an important part of the mission of Jesus, it's important for us to have that certainty when it comes to forgiveness. But like I say, it's It's sin that divides us. It's forgiveness or reconciliation that unites us. Well, in what way do we look at diversity? Well, today's second reading from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians speaks about how there are many different gifts, but always the same Spirit. And he uses the image of the body, how the body has many parts to it, each performing a particular function, so that there are many things that we can do involving different parts of our body that we couldn't do if any part of that body was lacking. And so it shows that each and every one of us has a part to play. And God gives each and every one of us particular gifts in order to carry out the plan that God wants for each of us. One of the readings that we had this past week used the image of the rain coming down on the garden, and how the rain is always the same. The rain is the same no matter what. But the effect that the rain has on different plants is going to be different. So when the rain falls on the roses, it's going to have one effect. When it falls on the lilies, it's going to have another effect. When it falls on the apple tree, it's going to have another effect. The rain adapts itself to the needs of each of the plants on which it falls. And that's what happens with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes down on us not to produce the exact same gifts in each person, but to produce different gifts in different people. And one of the tasks, I think that we've been very poor at this over the years, is to learn to discern what gifts God has given to us so that we can put them into practice in our lives. I very often think of it in terms of my own use of the computer that's sitting in my office. You know, I sit down at my computer. The reality is I use my computer to about this much of its potential. You know, it can do so many more things, but because of my lack of ability, my lack of knowledge, I can't bring the most out of it. Well, I think that very often with the Holy Spirit, we operate at a far lower level than what we're capable of, because we don't allow the Holy Spirit to take possession of us. We don't allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. And that's why throughout this year we had the Called and Gifted program. The Called and Gifted program was so that we could learn about what gifts God has given to us. We could test them out. We can see, okay, are these really the spiritual gifts? Because we're not talking about the natural gifts. We all have natural gifts, natural abilities. But we also have spiritual gifts, spiritual abilities. And part of the way that we discern the gifts that God has given to us is how it affects other people. If by exercising this gift, I am able to bring people to the Lord, then I know that this is probably one of the gifts, one of the spiritual gifts that God has given to me. But if it's also something that brings joy and peace in my own life, and that even when I work very hard using the gift, I might get tired, but I don't get worn out, because there's a liveliness, that there's an energy that comes with exercising the gift that God has given to us. So it's important for us to discern those gifts so that we can put them into practice, both for our own salvation as well as for the building up of the church. So these are the two things I want to point out today. Unity, especially the unity that comes from reconciliation, that through sin we have been separated from God and from one another, and that we want to be brought back into this unity of love, of belief, of purpose. We want to be brought back into this unity. But there's also a diversity, the different gifts, and to be able to discern the gifts that God has given to us so that we can put those gifts into practice. But now I'm going to ask Daniel and Hervé to come forward with their sponsors. Neither of them have their actual sponsors here. We have people standing in for their sponsors. So we have proxies. We are able to do that. So Hervé, if you don't mind coming, and you can stop right about there. And Daniel, the same thing over here. Yeah. And the sponsor on that side. Yeah. Because when the actual anointing comes, we want you to put your right hand onto their left shoulder. That's the way we're going to do it at that point. Oh, thank you, Deacon Pat. I appreciate that. So, I'm going to ask everyone to please stand. Because we always begin by renewing the baptismal promises. I'm going to ask Daniel and Hervé to renew their baptismal promises, but I want you to join in as well. And here we extend it a little bit. Normally there's three questions: belief in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But we extend the one for the Holy Spirit a little bit so that we have a fourth one talking about belief in the church. So, I first ask to you particularly, but to everyone generally, do you reject Satan and all his works and all his empty promises? Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was born of the Virgin Mary, was crucified, died, and was buried, rose from the dead, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who came upon the apostles at Pentecost, and today is given to you sacramentally in confirmation? And do you believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting? This is our faith. This is the faith of the church. We are proud to profess it in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And now, my dear friends, in baptism, God our Father gave the new birth of eternal life to his chosen sons. Let us pray to our Father that he will pour out the Holy Spirit to strengthen these his sons with his gifts and anoint them to be more like Christ, the Son of God. All-powerful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by water and the Holy Spirit, you freed your sons from sin and gave them new life. Send your Holy Spirit upon them to be their helper and guide. Give them the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of right judgment and courage, the spirit of knowledge and reverence. Fill them with the spirit of wonder and awe in your presence. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Now we will have the actual anointing, and of course the oil of chrism we use in three different sacraments: in baptism, in confirmation, and in the ordination of priests. The priests actually have their hands anointed, but a bishop has the top of his head anointed, just for the different role that the bishop has. We also use chrism to anoint altars, and that when our altar was consecrated, the bishop would have put the chrism oil on there and spread it around. We wouldn't do that for a wooden altar, but for a stone altar, we consecrate it with sacred chrism. But now, Hervé, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Peace be with you. Daniel, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you, with your spirit. Thank you. The sacrament of confirmation is a very simple sacrament. And this is, again, one of the reasons that I think that people have a difficulty. I think people find it hard to believe that God can invest so much power in something that is so simple. But that's where our faith comes in. Do we believe in God or not? Do we believe that God is able to do this or not? So it's a tremendous gift that God has given to both Daniel and Hervé as they've been confirmed in the Lord. So now let us extend to them our congratulations and our support. I'm going to invite you to return to your places, and we'll have our intercessions now. So now let us